What a privilege it is to be together today. We're in a period of the church year where certain themes are being emphasized. A few weeks ago, it was spiritual thirst and the way in which Jesus quenches that thirst that lies deep in all of us but gets masked by all the hoopla that goes on in the world and all the drama in human events, whether it's in our family or in politics or sports or even in the church. Now we're in a season where the Holy Spirit is emphasizing the theme of love. Last week, we celebrated the feast of our patron saints, Peter and Paul, by reading and commenting on the famous passage, 1 Corinthians 13, about practical love, about what love does. Not what love is, but what it does. And then St. Peter's admonition, above all things, everything else, being right, being liked or respected above all things. Keep hot in your love for one another, because it's love that covers a multitude of sins. Now this week, we hear Galatians 6, 1 and 2 saying, but if somebody's caught in sin, let's restore that person in a spirit of gentleness, if we're spiritual, looking to ourselves, lest we too be tempted. That passage starts out with a key word that we're tempted to skip over, brethren. If we miss that word, brethren, if anyone is caught in a trespass, then we start down the wrong path. Because otherwise, it's a person, someone out there, a stranger, somebody who's even a threat to us, or somebody who we dislike or don't recognize as a very part of Christ and a very part of the body of Christ with us. So we have to start with the, if we're going to get practical love into our lives for people who we may not click with, we're going to have to start with that word brethren and recognizing that that's who we really are in Christ. God is our Father and Uniter. Our destiny is linked. Your destiny is linked to each person here. My spiritual destiny is linked to your health and your well-being. And we're all essential to the functioning of Christ's body here in this place. So then he continues, after we get straight on brethren, he continues on to say, if somebody is caught in a trespass. What does he mean, if? I can sort of hear St. Paul saying to one of his co-workers, I'm going to put it, if in here, but they're going to know. We always notice each other's mistakes, don't we? We always notice other people's sins. So it's one of those ifs that isn't really an if. And I think he's talking here about sins that spoil our lives or the life of the church. Not picky judgmentalism where you don't like somebody's hairstyle or, you know, the way they pull out of the parking lot or, you know, it's stupid stuff like that. Picky judgmentalism is something that we're always tempted to get distracted onto, right? And that's not what's being talked about here. It's something that's spoiling a person's life or spoiling the life of the church. We're caught in a trespass. And we have to remember what the saints tell us. If something's got us excited, something that another person does has us excited, watch out. Here's what St. John Climacos, the author of The Ladder of Divine Ascent, says. The first stage of inner peace consists in silencing my lips when the heart is excited. And the second stage is silencing the mind when the soul is still excited. In other words, shut up, Father George. Or at least start there. Start by being quiet if something something bothers us. And that leads on, you who are spiritual, we have to check our motives. Because sometimes we're just exalting ourselves if we criticize somebody else or act like we're going to help them and correct them. And, you know, it's just a way of pumping air into my own tires. People don't need that. I sure don't need it. But the clergy, ministry leaders, do have the job of sometimes of going to somebody over something that is spoiling their life or spoiling other people's lives. And when we do, what is the goal? Boy, do we have to watch out here. The goal is restoration. St. Paul says, restore the person in a spirit of gentleness. I don't know if how many have read The Brothers Karamazov, that wonderful Dostoevsky novel. Remember Father Zosima, a fictional monk depicted in that novel, who is really, I believe, based on St. Seraphim of Sarov. Father Zosima says in that novel, whenever to his disciples as he's dying, he says to them, whenever you have an opportunity to correct somebody harshly or with humble love, always choose humble love. Always. St. Joseph of Optina, who is from that same era in the Russian Orthodox Church, said, do not judge anyone. Forgive everyone. Consider yourself worse than others, and you'll be saved. As much as possible, be more quiet. Here's that refraining from the... we do this restoration of somebody who's making a mistake with fear and trembling, with focus on ourselves first. What does the world have when it corrects people? Oh, you know, a bureaucrat wants to, you know, sort of establish, you know, his power. Or a politician wants to embarrass his opponent. There are all kinds of motives for correcting other people in public life and in the, you know, just the life of the institutions where we live. Restoring, restoring, restoring. Why? Because this person who needs restoring is part of me, is part of the body of Christ. When one member hurts, St. Paul says, the whole body hurts. And so that's what we're doing. We're just restoring the body that nourishes me and you and that gives us life and health through the gifts that the singers, the other people we give to one another. In a spirit of gentleness, that list of the gifts of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Notice how many of those fruits of the Spirit are aimed at the kind of edge that we have sometimes if we're dealing with somebody who we think annoys us or we're so weak that we think is annoying. We forget the brethren part. Patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. In a spirit of gentleness. This is Christ's way. St. John Chrysostom says, let us always guard our tongues. Not that it should always be silent, but that it should speak at the proper time. Looking to yourself, St. Paul concludes, lest you too be tempted, because I will be next. And maybe somebody else right now, but be sure, if I'm not next, it won't be long afterwards that I'm tempted to make my characteristic mistakes. And so the gentleness that I offer you or that you offer me comes back to bless us next time when it's our when we might otherwise be on the spot. And St. Paul sandwiches in between the fruit of the Spirit and this wonderful ministry of restoring one another if we're making mistakes. He sandwiches in there the person who's mature, who belongs to Christ Jesus, has crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucifixion is not just any old way of dealing with something, is it? It's a radical way of killing something, very, you know, just ruthlessly killing, really. And that's what we're supposed to do with the passions that would tempt us otherwise to deal with one another in different ways. This is how Christ has dealt with us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Right? That's the verse that we learned as kids. And that's how he's always dealt with us. That's how he dealt with the woman at the well. Patiently, with joy, with kindness, and focus. And this is what he calls us now to pass on to others. Exactly what we've received from him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, amen. Let us be filled with love and give that love to one another. Amen.